stand. Let's stand one last time and turn your hymnals to page 217. I chose this song thinking it was a new song. Hey, we learned a new song tonight. And Brother Marvin comes up and says, no, this is an old one. Everyone knows this song. So if it's new to you, it's new to me too. Let's sing all four verses and start the first.
Serve them, sweeter he grows. The old gospel singer said it just gets sweeter and sweeter and gooder and gooder. And can't deny that. Turn, if you would, this evening. And I know this is a very, very familiar passage, but trust the Lord might show us something this evening just to stir our hearts. If you would, as we begin this evening, to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Be mindful of Donna Leach in the hospital at Medical Plaza. She had a stroke on Friday. Her left side is pretty much paralyzed at this point. And Friday was pretty rough. Yesterday she seemed to be doing much better. But the maids were up there this afternoon. Didn't seem, Marilyn said she didn't seem to be doing as well today. So just pray for Mrs. Leach and God's mercy on her behalf. And of course for others in our church family as the Lord brings them to your mind. Let's stand together in Matthew chapter 28, and we'll read, beginning with those very important but familiar words in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And of course that word amen means so be it, or make it so, and might it be. Father, we bow before you, and we're so grateful for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Thank you, Father, to be able to gather together here tonight with my brothers and sisters. Lord, it's such a privilege, such an honor to stand before them. And I trust, Lord, that you'd feed us tonight. You'd give us something for your word that would be that encouragement, but also a challenge to us, that we might just see our place in your purpose and in your work. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your good mercy and for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Of course, we've seen it. Kind of need that this evening. Well, the question, why go? Why go? And I understand, and believe me, sometimes I would think that there goes the preacher again, preaching from Matthew 28 or what, or a similar passage. Well, bear with me, because I just believe it's important that we continually challenge ourselves, challenge our hearts, challenge our lives concerning this matter of the Great Commission. As it is our practice, I don't know, somebody might not be going home tonight. Got two sets of keys here. Let me check it out. Maybe it's a better car than mine. There you go. I want you to be able to get home tonight, brother. Where were we? Preachers are always haranguing on one thing or another. And this evening we're going to talk about this. How important it is to go and to witness, to go and to tell others about our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm thankful that we can go and tell them what a wonderful God He is. I'm thankful that we can go and tell folks what a tremendous and gracious and loving and merciful God we have. Yes, He's a God that will do right. He is a God that will judge sin. But He's a God that was also willing to sacrifice His own Son. He's a God that loved us enough and so much that He was willing to sacrifice Him on our behalf. And I often ask myself the question, with all that said, though, why are there so few going? And when I say that, I'm not talking about simply going to the mission field or going on some big evangelistic campaign. I'm talking about why are there so few that just go? Whether it be go to the neighbor's house or go to that friend that you work with, or just why are there so few going? Why is there so little going on? Why is there so little going on? And I suppose in some ways I have that tendency. I can be a little cynical or, heaven forbid, even critical. And I don't want to be. But maybe I'd ask the question, could it be we're confused about the instructions? I know those are pretty difficult words. That word go, G-O is, I know that's a pretty complex concept there. And doesn't seem too much about it to me that should confuse us though, right? It's one of the very first words that we might add to our vocabularies as children. You know, we all, this crowd right here, can probably remember when mom or dad would say, go and clean up your room. Go and cut the grass. Go and take out the trash. We learned that word pretty early on. We should be able to grasp the concept. What does it mean to go? I don't think it's possible. Maybe it's possible that the instruction to go are not real clear. Again, it seems to be, I know I'm being facetious here, but I'm being kind of simple and simplistic for the point of it, that we might even embarrass ourselves. The word go seems to be a rather black and white in its meaning. We either are going to go or we're not going to go. And quite often we choose not to go. We choose not to go. It's not some gray issue, is it? It is the simple instruction of the Word of God. But maybe it's because we don't understand all the whys, all the W-H-Y-S that might come, that might apply here. We're going to look at just a couple this evening. Just a couple. We could look at several, but I'm going to take it easy on you this evening. Maybe wore you down a little bit this morning, so we'll go a little bit easier tonight. I really hesitated. You know, I don't like to use labels or tags or political jokes or anything like that, because I don't want to. You know, I can get folks upset with me easy enough without actually purposely doing it, but I can't help myself. It's terrible. Can't help myself. I read about these two fellows. They were walking down the street, and one was a Democrat fella, and the other was a Republican fella. And they came across this homeless man, and the Republican man went over to him, and he gave him his business card and said, "Hey, come to my business tomorrow, and I'll give you a job." And he gave him $20, and they went on their way. Well, the Democrat fella, he was real impressed with that. He thought that was really something. So the next homeless fellow they came across, he went up and he gave him instructions to the welfare office and then took $50 out of the Republican's pocket and gave it to him. What were we talking about? Why go? Maybe we don't understand why we should go. And we're going to look at a couple of reasons here. First of all, Roman number one, we need to go. And let me preface this. It's not the number one reason. This isn't really the primary reason why we should go. But nonetheless, it is a very important reason. We need to go because it is the Lord's command. It is obviously the Lord's command. What does God's command mean to us? Is there any question? Is there any doubt in our minds this evening that God has indeed commanded us to go? Well, I would think not. I would not think so. In here, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go therefore, and we'll come back to that in a moment. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, where the Lord Jesus Christ speaking again, and He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." We look over in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24 and verse 47. And the instruction there is given that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name amongst all nations. What's that about? Going. The instruction to go. And then, of course, those words from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. That take it for granted that we will go. Where it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And of course, again, what is understood there? That we will go. That we will go. I don't believe there's any question that God has commanded us to go. Is there any question, though, beloved, that we are to obey God's command? Is there any question about that? Do any of us have a doubt this evening that we are responsible to obey the commands of God? I doubt that. I doubt if, hopefully, not a one of us would. Our obedience to Him, beloved, is a manifestation of our love for Him. Singing about the love of God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, you can turn to that, John chapter 14, in verse 15 of John 14, the very direct, simple statement, the Lord Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." What's he saying? If you love me, obey me. If you love me, obey me. Look down in that same chapter, if you would, John 14, in verse 21. It says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." What's he saying? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, it is evidence that you love me. He goes on. In verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." In verse 24, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." Interesting, isn't it? We see here that a very clear word on whether we love God or not is whether we are willing to obey what He tells us to do, what His instruction is to us. Now, beloved, as we read these words, we've read from three of the Gospels, and we could even look at John, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "So send I you," concerning the Gospels. So we find that in all the Gospels, the book of Acts, we could go through the epistles and find that over and over and over and over again, we are instructed to go, to take the gospel to this lost and dying world. We go because of the Lord's command. But secondly, we go because of the Lord's power. We go because of the Lord's power. And I love that those words from Matthew chapter 28. This is a tremendous, tremendous instruction here. Again, obvious here. Verse 18, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." What's the very next word? "Go ye therefore." Excuse me. "Go ye therefore." Why? Why obey the Lord's command to go ye in verse 19? Because of what He just said. Again, what's it say? "Go ye therefore," or "go ye because of what I've just told you." "Go ye therefore on the foundation of what I have told you just now." And what did He tell them? That all power has been given unto Him in heaven and in earth. Now, what does that bring to our heart? Truth, what image does that bring to our hearts and minds? And we consider that not just some power, not just a measure of power, but all power has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. All power in heaven and in earth. Now, because of that, because of the fact that Jesus Christ has been given all power, and as we said, not just a measure of power, but all power belongs to Him. Now again, what kind of power is this? Well, that word power in this passage has the idea of the power of authority. There's a difference in different kinds of power. This is the power that is in authority. It would be the idea of the authority that a ruler has, a king has, or a magistrate has. And we understand that a king, he even has the idea of discretionary power, the power of choice, the power of declaration, we might say. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been given this power, or maybe we should better describe it as authority. He has authority where? Where does it say He has this authority? In heaven and in earth. Huh? He's got all authority in heaven and in earth. Then, on the foundation that He is the one that has all authority, that He has the power to give authority, as we're going to see in a moment, we go therefore. We go on the basis of the authority and the power that is in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Satan may be the prince of this world, as the Bible describes him, but Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. You know, so many times we allow the wicked one to buffalo us and discourage us and to frustrate what we may be trying to do. Just understand where he's at, what his place is. Is he powerful? Yeah, he's got a measure of power. But be mindful of a few things. He still has limits to his power. And again, he's not God. He may be the God of this world, but he's not the God of all. He does not have the attribute of omnipresence. What's that mean? Everywhere present, right? He's limited in where. Hey, he's not God. Our God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere present. And all that authority, all that power has been entrusted into our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. So be mindful. The prince of this world is a defeated foe. Where did he lose the battle? He lost the battle at Calvary, at the cross. And we'll look at a little bit more of that as we go along. Jesus now, beloved, seeing that he has this authority, he has this power, we find that he has given us power. Huh? He is giving us power. What does it say there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? Those familiar words, what's it say? But ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. Power, after that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Samaria, in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Now, I want us to try to get a handle on this, so I'm hoping the Lord will make it clear in my own heart. When do we receive this power? Now back up, let me back up a minute. What kind of power does our God have, our Lord, our Savior? He's got all power, all authority. It's been entrusted, it's been given to Him. The power of authority, and it is all authority. And this heavens and the earth. Now, I don't want to, the idea, as we've said there, is this power of authority. And now we see that Jesus has given us power, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This word's a different word for power. It's not that same word we find there in Matthew chapter 28. It's a different word. This is that word that so many times we hear talked about. Preachers like to talk about the word that our word dynamite come from. The word dunamis is the word here. And according to Strong's Concordance, it refers, now get this, the power that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The power that He will invest in us, that He will give to us. You ready? It's miraculous power. Yeah, I'm a Baptist. All the way through, head to toe, independent Baptist. The power that's being talked about here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is supernatural power. It's the meaning of the word. It's what the word means. Supernatural power. Now think about that. Why would we need supernatural power? Now we're not talking about the craziness and all that. We're not talking about the crazymatics and all the things that goes on with them. No, we're talking about a power that's invested in us for what reason? For the declaration of the gospel. The power that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us is power to preach and proclaim the gospel. It's the power to go. Huh? God has given us miraculous power for the work of the gospel. That gives me some confidence. It kind of helps me to think, hey, I understand that God has given His Son all power, all authority to carry this thing out. And that according to Acts chapter 1, 8, He says that we will receive that power for this work. We're His emissaries. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to send angels to do what He expects us to do. Right? It's a work that He has given to you and to me. It's a work that comes from His commands to us. It's a work that He has enabled us as well. Well, back to the question I was going to ask. When do we receive this power? Is it after we've been saved for 20 years or so? Maybe we receive this power after we've gone to Bible college and seminary. Or maybe better word, cemetery. After we've reached a certain age of maturity? Is it after we've gone to some seminar on soul winning? No. No, beloved. When do we receive this power? We receive this power, this strength, this ability, the moment we receive the Holy Spirit of God. And when does that happen? The moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us, takes up residence in us. Look with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll just pick up here in verse 8, breaking into the passage, but in Romans 8 and verse 8, it says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." It's talking about us in our lost condition before we were saved. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But, hallelujah for those buts in the Bible, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Who is he talking about there? Every single individual that's saved. "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." What's that verse saying to us? That if you don't have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, what? You're not saved. You're not saved. Now, what's the other side of that thing? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're saved. So then, when do we receive this power? The moment we get saved. The moment we get saved, we receive that power to become witnesses for Him. In my Sunday school class this morning, we kind of got a little off on away from our subject of faith. We were starting to study this, what the Bible teaches about faith, and a couple other questions came up. A couple folks had mentioned about how when you first get saved, what do you want to do when you first get saved? When you first get saved, you want to make sure everybody at the house is saved, right? When you get saved, you want to make sure the wife or the husband's saved. And immediately you've got a burden for your kids. And then, of course, are your parents and brothers and sisters and the family. And there's that sweet gal that lives over the back fence. And you start having to have a burden that other folks will get saved. Right? And that is birthed in you when you get saved. Why? Because the Holy Spirit takes up residence. The power of God enters in. Hey, what is the power of God? The Holy Spirit of God. And if we have the Holy Spirit of God, we have the ability, we have the power to witness for Him. Now think about this. Just so to kind of clarify what we're talking about, so you don't think the preacher's going off the deep end on this. Super. Not busting. Baptists, independent Baptists, aren't supposed to talk about miraculous things. I know. We'll keep it a secret here. What are we talking about here? How many times have you witnessed in the flesh? You don't have to raise your hand. There's been times when I've witnessed in the flesh. If you follow what I'm saying is that you could sense the Holy Spirit wasn't anywhere around. Huh? And you may have the right burden, but you're trying your best to get somebody to do something that God hasn't prepared them to do. And it's like pushing the proverbial rope. You can't do it. But when God's on the scene and the Holy Spirit is in charge, it's a whole different business. Picks up real quick, doesn't it? It's a whole different thing. And you can sense, hey, God's reminding you of things in the Scriptures you thought you forgot all about. Things you didn't even remember. Here the Lord is bringing them to your remembrance. Passages of Scripture and this and that concept. What's going on? The Holy Spirit of God is on the scene. And that power that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is at work. It's being active. And it's using you. Beautiful thing, isn't it? It's so exciting. And you can't wait after an experience like that. And you can't wait to get back and tell somebody. Because it's just unique. It's beautiful. It's miraculous. It's miraculous when God's on the scene. Well, we receive that power then, the strength, the ability to witness when the Holy Spirit has taken up residence. And we see that that's very clearly the moment we get saved. Excuse me. Well, let me ask you then. You know, I like to ask questions along the way. Can I legitimately say, well, I just can't witness? It's not a legitimate statement, beloved. I just can't witness, preacher. Well, I can understand. I can understand that sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, again, what's going on? Satan can twist us up in knots. He can convince us. What do you say? Well, it's just not the right time. Well, you know, they probably don't want to hear it anyway. Well, you know, that guy's mean as a... That guy's mean as a sack of snakes. He's never going to want to get saved. And we'll come up with all these rationalizations. And every one of them is spawned by Satan himself. To convince us that we shouldn't speak up for Christ. Convince, hey, and you know what? We're willing partners in that thing. There's something that we hesitate. And you know what? We just need to let God do it. We just need to let the Lord have the thing. I remember I was thinking about this the other day. And unfortunately, I was all by myself. I stepped into the elevator there in the Harris building at Harris Tower down at Harris Methodist. And you know, that thing goes way up. And I forget, one of the folks was on that seventh floor. And I stepped in there and hit the button. And, of course, I was the only one in there. And I was couldn't really witness to myself, I guess. But I remembered years ago I had been in the hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I was in there with a fellow that a friend of mine, and we stepped in the elevator. You know, it was one of those times that you just get in the elevator, and there was a bunch of folks there, and we were like right at the door because there's all these people behind us. And again, I'm, you know, somewhere else, and he starts talking. He said, "Preacher, wasn't that a great day Sunday?" And, you know, it took me, "Oh, yeah, that was a great day." We just started talking about what happened at church on Sunday. And, of course, we talked about the Lord. And we were going, it was in Allegheny Hospital there in Pittsburgh. It's got a bunch of floors, and we were going to the top. And those folks got to hear a good bit about what happened at church Sunday. And, hey, you know, we just got to have a little imagination sometimes. You don't have to turn around to them and tell them, "You know what? You're all going to hell if you don't get saved." No. No, you don't have to do that. But you can. Use a little imagination. Hey, just, you got somebody with you? Just start talking about what God's been doing in your life, in your family. Hey, it's what are they going to say? You're just having a conversation, right? How natural. Well, anyway, Lord help us. We need to go. And lastly, as we try to finish up here, we go because of the Lord's purpose. The Lord's purposes. Our God has laid out His plan and His purpose. He sent His Son to do what? Seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came from glory, this old earth planet, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's how I got in. That's how I got in. That was me, bless His name. Christ paid it all, didn't He? Paid the price in full there at Calvary. He has. He has that authority, and He has the victory over sin and the grave. And the God the Father has given His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said at the beginning, all power. And we can rest in that power. We can take confidence in that power, that authority. Not our part, the authority He has. We have no authority in ourselves, do we? All the authority, all the power we have is we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And based on that authority that is His authority, His instruction to us is to go. Why go? Because He's asked us to. He's told us to. Because, as we see lastly, of his purpose. What's His purpose? To seek and to save that which is lost. To save a lost and dying world. I can't help it. Whenever I preach on this subject, and you probably get weary of me saying it, but where would we be tonight if somebody hadn't obeyed the command to go? Where would we be? If someone hadn't told us, had that burden and told us about what Jesus Christ had done, where would we be? I honestly say, I have no clue where Jim Turner would be this evening. I know the course I was on until God intervened in my life, Marcia's life. And of course, around the room, every one of us could give that same testimony in some fashion or form where we were headed when God intervened and changed our course. Of course, we understand, we don't go in our own strength, as we said. We don't go in our own imagination, our own power. We go in the authority and the strength, the power of the Son of God. The question comes back to me, though. Come back to where we started. Why don't we go? Why don't we go more? Why isn't there more going on? Do we have any reason not to go? Not really. We don't have a reason not to go. I know we get weary, we get tired, we're busy. And I believe a lot of that is the work of Satan behind the scenes. He wants us to be busy. He wants us to be wore out. Because you and I are what stand between lost souls and eternity. He wants to do everything He can to keep us from going. to keep us. God, help us this evening. Help us to obey Him and go. Lord, help us to go in His power. And our Father might help us to enter into the purpose and the plan that He had. Hey, it's His purpose and plan for eternity. And you and I, Metropolitan Baptist Church, get to be part of that. Isn't that a neat thing? Let's stand together, beloved. Father, this evening I preach tonight to myself, Father. Preach to this preacher. Father, the conviction of my own heart that, Lord, I sure love to talk to people about the Lord Jesus, and so exciting and to see how You enter in and use Your Word and by Your Spirit deal with hearts. And Lord, I just don't understand why I don't have a bigger burden. Don't understand why we don't go even more with this wonderful, life-saving, life-changing message. And so, Father, this evening, I just pray that You'd start right here at this pulpit. But all, Father, please move and work throughout our entire church family. Might we as a church, a group, an assembly of called out believers have that greater heart, love for You, and greater heart for souls, lost, dying souls. We thank You, Lord, this evening for that one that talked to us about Jesus. Thank You, Father, for the preacher so many years ago that declared the gospel. And I heard, and You were pleased to draw savingly to Yourself. Thank You, Father. Oh, Lord, for folk that still go. We love You, Lord. Thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' lovely, beautiful, glorious name, amen.
Page 108.
We sing, folks. Just obey the Lord, please.
It may not be on the mountainside or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice He calls to pass, I do not know. I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in Thine. I'll go where You want me to go. I'll go where You want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what You want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what You want me to be. Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should seek. O Savior, if Thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what You want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
You know, folks, as we stand here this evening and sing those words, and I don't know, even this, as you would be thoughtful of what we heard from the Word of God tonight, I would think it would be pretty easy for all of us to think of some folks that we know that need to hear. Some folk that we should be praying for. We should be praying for. This person needs me to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Might be that neighbor. Might be that lady or man that down at the job. Please, please, please make it a matter of prayer. Coming in your heart, I'm going to talk to them. You know, we can invite them to church, and that's fine, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Hopefully they come, they'll hear the gospel. But it's not about church. It's about their eternity. It's about you talking to, you going, talking to them about their soul, about what they need. Might we be a people that'll be obedient to the Word of God. You can be seated. You know what? I didn't say anything this morning. It was good to see Carolyn Reeves back in church this morning. Grateful for that. And it's sure good to have Brother Bill Morris back. And we're so grateful for God's mercy. Brother Bill, he's had a rough spell the last few weeks, but he's on the mend and had a great report from the doctor this week, and we're excited about that. So you continue to pray for Brother Bill. Don't forget Donna Leach. Karen Marabella's had a real rough time the last few weeks. David's mother, please pray for her. And I know there's others around. I know Mrs. Alfie was telling me this morning that LD is really, really having a hard time. Very forgetful, so please remember these ones. We're just grateful that we can pray for each other. We can intercede for each other. Please do that as the Lord brings your brothers and sisters in Christ to mind. Brother Curtis, you come.
One other I'd like to make you hear. Boom. Got their attention. One other I'd like to make mention, and that's Miss Belinda Jones. She's in Kindred Hospital, and it might be a while before she comes out of there. We need to go visit her. She's still a member of this church, and we just need to show her that we love her. So let's keep that in mind. So, gentlemen, if y'all come forward and get ready for this evening's offering. Just pray. Lord, thank you so much for us today. Lord, thank you for the wonderful day you've given us today, Lord, and yesterday. And we just can't thank you enough. And Lord, we can't live on yesterday's memories. You're telling us to go. Lord, you told us that we shall be witnesses. Lord, that tells us that we're going to be a witness. It's up to us to be what kind of witness, a good or bad. Help us be the good one. Help us be bold in our witness. Like the preacher said, it's not about church, it's about their eternity. Bit this offering about to receive, bit the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. what I'm doing. men's boys breakfast this Saturday, Colonial Restaurant, 7:30, Main Street. TTU graduation this next Sunday evening. Fall class registration closes June 10th for TTU. Same day as our Senior Sunday, and youth camp's coming up the week of the 18th. Please pray, okay? VBS is coming up after that on July 9th. Again, please pray. Brother Colton, you need more volunteers for that? You can use them all. You go as many as we can get. If you're looking for something to do, the way to be a blessing, come be a blessing to this man right here. Big thank you for all those who's helped and all the others that's got thank yous here for. Ladies' visitation on Wednesday, and yeah, we're going to have visitation on Saturday too, aren't we? So, okie dokie. Your turn.
Let's stand. We'll be dismissed with our chorus. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? That's a long phrase to say. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Don't forget choir. We got a 15-minute choir practice in 5 minutes. Thanks.